the dark, I fed my dreams. Permaculture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Permaculture, P-I-M-P, I'm the king. Back in love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 336 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where Pimp stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. It's that Trump dance for you. Oh, yeah. Well, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Living Soil Foundation. Yeah, still waiting on those results, and hopefully my engineer wasn't one of the ones that got washed out in this thing in North Carolina. Oh, shoot. I didn't even think about that, and he's away in Alaska right now, so that's why I'm holding up and waiting on... results. So, yeah, it's still wait. But look, right off the bat, y'all, prayers for Texas, Central Texas, North Carolina. And, hey, if you're thinking that's the only place where you need to direct your prayers, I got some other places for you. Got them written down here. Flooding events on another level that nobody's ever seen before in the following places: China, Indonesia, Pakistan, the UK, Italy, France, Algeria, and a number of others. And folks, that's a short list. All at the same time. In fact, I've even posted one link on my X account on at Permapastures Farm on X. So, yeah, I want to thank everybody for coming in today. Anna, Joe, or Juby Joe, Anna, Gannon, Jay Gannon, Cosmic Knowing, and a bunch of others in here. If you would hit that thumbs up, tell everybody we're live. We're not going to be, Renewed Homestead's not going to be able to help out tonight. They got some other things going, but yeah, prayers for all these folks, y'all. And William, do you think this is just one giant coincidence?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't know how you can deny geoengineering at this point. Really, like, you have to be like intentionally like making yourself not believe that any of this is happening, like, because there's treaties signed against using it against each other. There's like patents. There's all this. Like I say every time, check out geoengineeringwatch.org. And I think that is one of the best created websites on the internet, just because it has all of the information you need to undeniably like confirm that geoengineering is a thing, and it happens all the time.
Well, as predicted, I made the prediction, and you can go and look at my X account, folks. I did it when I got up early this morning, and I said, mark my words, because so many people, the first thing I noticed, we get up at dark 30 along, and we're on the East Coast, so obviously, you know, I'm up way earlier than most. Anyway, got on there, and I was looking, and I was seeing all the scuttlebutt, not only from there, but from the day before, on Sunday. And I couldn't even believe the record numbers of people that ordinarily wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. And all of these folks are talking about the very same thing. And I said, mark my words, and you can go to my X account and you can see it. I said, mark my words. And I'm paraphrasing, basically. I kind of choose my words carefully when I do my X, but I said, mark my words. You're going to see the subject change in a massive way really, really soon, because too many people are asking questions about this. And then what happens next? Lo and behold, drum roll, please. Brum. Yeah, we find out Epstein absolutely is innocent. I mean, might as well say that. There's no evidence, apparently, according to Bongino, who I told you from the very beginning, you know, Cash. I call him Harold and Kumar over at the FBI. And then you got Sam Blondie, who's their boss. And, you know, we're finding out that basically, okay, so if there's no evidence, son, then that means Epstein was jailed, you know, unjustly. That means Ghislaine right. Maxwell went to prison for absolutely nothing. I mean, help me out here, because I honestly, and then people were upset about this whole Elon Musk thing, and I'm like, okay, just right on cue. And at this point, people are saying, well, what about the midterms? You know, what about them? I mean, folks, how is it any different? You're getting screwed the way it is right now. Why do you even care who wins in the midterms or whether Elon Musk is coming up with a new party? Frankly, it doesn't even matter. If at this point, like William said, if you can't see what's going on, and if you look at some of the latest videos I just posted, good night. Exactly what happened, and I'm going to go through it real quick. What happened here in North Carolina, in a nutshell, planes went over. They dropped a bunch of particles. These particles got entwined with the storm. The next rad radar towers use those towers to steer those storms. It is right there. It's plain as day. You have this. You have this storm system. And record numbers were putting it out there. And then, of course, just like I said, and right on cue, as soon as they come out with this whole thing about Epstein, all of a sudden everybody, you know, what happened in Texas and everywhere else, all of a sudden the scuttlebutt stopped. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that ain't no accident. So here we are, same exact thing that they did in North Carolina. And I practically got booed off the state at some so-called organic conference that they had here because I actually brought that up. And, of course, these hoople-headed morons in there, even though I was trying to show the evidence, would not even hear it. You son, you know what gets me more than anything? I'll tell you what burns me up about this more than absolutely anything else. It's not that the powers that shouldn't be are doing this. It's the incredulity. It's the I couldn't care less about the American populace. That's what gets me more. Predators are going to do what a predator does.
Yeah, like you can't get mad at a hyena for killing a baby rhino or something like that. You can't get mad at these are humans and stuff like that. So you can, you know, offer correction or create the correction and stuff like that. But yeah, it's that you can't get anybody to care. You can't get people that live in North Carolina to care about the contamination. You can't get the people in Austin to be concerned about the geoengineering or put a stop to it. You can't get people in America to care about American concerns, let alone what's going on in other countries under our name. Like, you can't get people to care about any of it. And it's, I think that could be another good litmus test for your mutual assistance group. And along with the without rule of law, you could also include, like, all right, what are your stances on these? What are your stances on geoengineering? What are your stances on the genocide going on in the Middle East? What are your stances on these things? And if they respond like, I don't care, then they're not going to care about you if they need to come to your aid during the time of a crisis. Like, look at how many mutual assistance groups fell apart in North Carolina, and that was just a hurricane. Like, I'm saying just a hurricane, but that's not like an active... Like, it's once the hurricane's done, the hurricane's done. It's not like an active attack or a continuous attack. You just can't get people to care. They don't. They frankly just don't care.
Yeah, that's the thing that's frustrating me more than anything is that, you know, as that cliche says, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. And I think that's what burns me up more than anything, because as soon as the next news cycle moves on a little bit, because I was astonished really at how many, and I made the prediction. I said, watch, you're going to see a bombshell fall because they cannot have people. And it worked like nobody's business, because now instead of talking about what just happened in Texas, and by the way, the same thing. Oh yeah. Folks, in case you didn't hear it, because the mainstream isn't covering it all, we had the very same thing, not to the same severity, that happened back in October here in Western North Carolina, but in central North Carolina. Okay, so we got a storm going up the coast. The storm somehow doesn't flood the coast where it came from or any of the areas. It waits till it gets to Charlotte. And then all of a sudden, the very same thing that happened in Texas. And there's videos out there showing you the next rad radar towers as they go off. And like William said, my buddy Dane Wigington over at geoengineeringwatch.org, you can see a lot of this stuff over there, but go to Twitter. It ain't hard to find. And They are literally showing, folks, as a permaculture designer, everything in nature moves. If you see a storm stop, that is an open indication that something is very, very strange that's going on there. Nothing stops. No storm stops and stays put. The one in Texas stood there and waited for the others to come up to it, and then all of a sudden it gained intensity in the same spot. Got all these little
put that heads. Just to put that into perspective, like, make the wind stop. Make the wind stop and stay still. And that's the equivalent of making a hurricane stop and stand still. Some people will say, like, oh, it's like there's no air movement or anything like that. It's always moving. It's just whether or not you're sensitive enough to really feel it or anything. But we got a few comments in the chat that, okay. So Palmetto Paratrooper said, you should only worry about the things that you can impact. If you concern yourself with things that you can't influence, you're just going to be spinning your wheels in the mud. I agree with that statement, but I think you're underestimating like what we can impact. I think you're underestimating like what, how much weight your each individual's voice actually carries. We have now the ability to contact and communicate with everybody in the world, which also ties into his next statement saying, if everyone cared about their neighbors as much as they cared about the other side of the planet, the whole world would be in a better place. And I agree. It's just we have way more neighbors now because there are no longer like barriers between communication between like the United States. Like, we have somebody from Australia. It's morning right now. Thanks for getting up early. It's morning right now, but he's watching the live stream. We have people in the UK watching the live stream. All vast, like couple years ago, not even too long ago, like it would have taken days or months just to communicate with those people. But now we can communicate with them instantaneously, which now makes them our neighbor. So,
well, let me add to that, son. Okay. I agree with you, but here's the part that bugs me is they're stealing my money in the form of taxes, and they steal a lot of it, and they're stealing yours too. It is my problem because they are murdering people elsewhere all over this planet. Folks, think about this. This was a engineered event. No doubt in my mind. 100% positive. Otherwise, you're a coincidence theorist. They just murdered our own people with our own tax money. That's exactly what they just did. They just murdered your people. And then, okay, so that extends because we don't stand up. We don't say anything. And I agree. You got to, you know, charity starts at home. I totally agree with you. 100%. We got to worry about the things I can reach out and touch. That's a good place to start. But then but most people don't even do that.
No.
they don't even do that. If I had a nickel for every person, that's why I don't let anybody come to my house. This is why I don't do classes here, folks. Okay? I'm just going to go ahead and break it down right now. This is why I'm very, very careful about who comes to my house, even though I'd love to teach courses here, because here's what's going to happen. If I had a nickel for every person that's ever come here or other places in the past and said, well, if things jump off, I'm coming to your place. Even though they say that in jest, they really mean it. When somebody tells you what they think, believe them or what they would do. And then it'll be the same exact thing where, okay, so they live on constant vacation. I work my butt off every single day. Event jumps off. And they think just because you came to my house for a visit or whatever, oh, hey, we're just going to show up to his place because we know he's got food, he's got water, he's got all this other stuff. Folks, that's when I'm not going to be so charitable. You're the last person on earth. If you did absolutely nothing, and I know people, and I got family members like this, live on constant vacation, do absolutely nothing. Something jumps off. You think you're going to come here? Got news for you. I'm gonna pile you up like cordwood. And look, I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to say that. I would rather have an 85-year-old grandma who knows how to cook than some 20-year-old fool that thinks he's just gonna sleep in and do whatever or feel he or she is entitled because we share a little bit of DNA. Got news for you. Yeah. That ain't happening. But yeah, I totally agree with that sentiment that, yeah, charity's got to start at home. But I got to also remember, you're either an activist or an inactivist. Either way, you're involved no matter what. So if they're murdering people all across this planet, and even in our own soil, there is no way on earth I'm not going to speak up, even at the risk of losing this platform. Like I said, I'm really not even caring at this point. I said that a couple of episodes ago. In fact, I've long thought that. In fact, I'm shocked that they allowed us on this long. Bottom line is, I mean, we already got two strikes. So, look, bottom line is, folks, you better stand up and start kicking some butt, because you are losing your country. Think about this big, beautiful bill. Look at three lowercase b's. Somebody was asking before, what does that even mean, 666? Well, if you take a lowercase b three times, I guess you could say that would be 666, depending on how you look at it. Big, beautiful bill. Build back better. Folks, if you at this point don't realize that the new boss is same as the old boss, I don't know what to tell you. You got to stand up. You got to start kicking some butt. And it all starts with stop acquiescing when you know the truth. Maybe I know that, you know, not everybody's going to have the ability in your workplace or whatever the case may be, but in the areas of influence, like you, like Palmetto Paratrooper was saying, maybe start with the people around you and say, look, I just watched this video. It was, you know how many people I red pilled, son, just by looking at Building 7 on 9/11?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any idea? I would go up to these people, and these were people I knew that were entirely opposed to the notion of our government taking down three buildings. But most people didn't know, and to this day don't even know, that a third building fell in its own footprint at free fall speed on 9/11. I would go up to that same person. I'd usually wait a day. There was this one guy in particular at the VA hospital in Kansas. Absolutely just called us all crazy. I waited a day or it may have been two. I go up to him and I said, hey, take a look at this, man. What does that look like to you? He said, man, that's one of those implosions. And then I'm like, okay, hook, line, and sinker. I'm like, bro, that's Building 7 on 9/11.
That's no, man. Dave Chappelle soundbite. Gotcha.
Yep. Son, if I had a nickel for every time I've red pilled somebody with that video, because they only think the two towers came down. No, there was a third that wasn't hit by anything. Well, it's the same little red pill that you can use right now when it comes to these storms. Like, show them that little, I don't know, maybe it's a 30-second thing from geoengineeringwatch.org. It's even on the it's on their YouTube channel. And just show them that little 30-second video of what happened in North Carolina. It's little, you may be the one that plants the seed. You may be the one that waters it, you know, and God gives the increase. You may, I don't know where you are in that, and you don't either. But folks, we got to start standing up. And you know what? At this point, I'm not afraid to make enemies, and I've long been that way. So that's just the way it's going to be. Anything more to add on that, son?
Yeah, I mean, here's the reason. I don't know a lot of you guys' faith or anything like that, but here's the reason we have to do this. So Psalm 58:1, would you indeed speak righteousness in silence? Do you judge straightly, you sons of men? Like, how... This is what we're supposed to do. This is exactly what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be silent about unrighteous things going on in this world. We're not supposed to be silent about evil that's being done in our names. Like, I'm sure, okay, so look at the times back when Israel was, like in biblical times, when Israel was being chastised by the Father. Like, I'm sure not every single one of the Israelites in certain times were all doing evil, but they still got the same punishment, because did any of them speak up? Were any of them active against the evil that was going on in their country in their name? No. So we have a platform. Everybody has access to a platform. Everybody can be doing this. And if you get kicked off that platform, make a new email and make another platform. Like, there's comedian podcasts that they make, you know, jokes that offend YouTube. And you know what they do when they get kicked off? They just make another account and then upload another channel. And then they're back up and running again. Everybody has access to this ability.
Speaking of that, son, I mean, some of the most consequential thoughts out there, believe it or not, are coming from comedians. People like Tinfoil Hat.
Sam Tripoli.
Yeah, Sam Tripoli. These people right now are speaking more truth to power. And that's why a lot of times you'll see me rap things in comedy, because you can get away with things. If you can wrap it in comedy, that ordinarily, if I were to say it in a serious note, you'd never get away with. So like that video I did the other day. If I can, I can make a point and at the same time make people laugh, you'd be shocked at what you can get away with, and you'd be shocked at how much you can red pill somebody in a lot of those things. So, folks, I'm not going to apologize for beating this dead horse. This, well, it's a really dead horse, I suppose, at this point. But honestly, in addition, at the very same time, within the 12 hours of Texas and North Carolina being attacked, you had the very same thing happening. I mean, folks, it is not hard to find. You can go there. I mean, torrential downpours just washing away everything in China, Indonesia, Pakistan, the UK, Italy, France, Algeria, and that was a very short list. So what I'm trying to say is that all of this is not an accident. It's not an accident. We have things, it's not climate change. And for, yeah, I doubt there's many hardcore people on the left still listening to this anymore. I'm sure I ran you off quite a while ago, but this, yeah, the climate's changing, all right, because they're doing it. And like William said, how do you call, like, no, Dr. Cruz, Dr. Jack Cruz even said it. How do you call something a conspiracy theory when there are the patents that exist for it? How do you, the weather manipulation, we got patents for it. So if you're calling it a conspiracy theory at this point, you are a moron. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. You need to be wrapped in the head with a tack hammer because you don't have any sense. Okay. And folks, now here we are, yet another attack, one in North Carolina and then all up and down the coast. I mean, it's going to keep happening, folks, until we stand up. And if you think Trump sitting in that ivory tower is going to make a difference, I got news for you. He is nothing more than a lapel pin on the real people that are calling the shots. In fact, I'm not so sure Netanyahu didn't show up today to give him his latest marching orders. I mean, yeah, he's on his latest visit here. I'm sure he's got his feet kicked up on the Resolute desk, the whole nine yards. Because if you think it's our people running things, how on earth, Spam Blondie at the Justice Department just told us not long ago, folks, and I posted that video on there too, lest you forget, that they had truckloads of documentation, information, everything about Epstein, and now all of a sudden her and Harold and Kumar said, oh, nothing exists. And sadly, there are people, son, do you think it's going to move the needle at all for all of these? You know what? I called you before Trump loyalists, but now you are perilously close to being the Trump tards the people on the left call you.
Yeah. All we need is 3%.
Yeah. I don't even know anymore. I think everybody's so blue light addled at this point that, it's hard to imagine the Roman Empire being worse. Jack Cruz tells me I'm crazy that the Roman Empire was worse. It's hard to imagine. It really is hard to imagine. Even though I know what Edward Gibbon wrote about the fall and decline of the Roman Empire, I know about all those things, but it is, when you're living through it, it's nearly impossible to really fathom that you can have a people. They just passed this big monstrosity of a bill that for 10 years, states can't even, they have to give up basically the 10th Amendment in regard to this digital panopticon they've put around us, and nobody cares. Everybody supported it. So much pork in there, it'll blow your mind. And we're being attacked by the very money that they're stealing from us, folks. I mean, what is the solution? I know it has to start with, first of all, education. And then from there, maybe you don't pay your taxes. Maybe you don't,
Now, with the taxes, Dad, like legally not paying your taxes, because there's a right way to do it. And then there's another way where you're just you're backing out of the agreement that you already agreed upon. So there's a right way to do it.
Yeah, there's a right way to do it. And I'm not going to go too much into that right now, because who knows, they probably would cut the feed on something like that. But there's a right way and a wrong way to go about things. But We're going to have to start fighting back in the biggest way, folks, because they honestly don't care about you. That's why everybody, oh, Elon Musk is making a new party. Who cares? You're being screwed. The only thing you're designing, you're figuring out at that ballot box is that we're all prostitutes, really. And we're just trying to figure out which John is going to screw us on which side of the bed. Sorry for the crass statement, but I really don't know how else to put it. That's honestly...
You're right. It's spit or lube. Those are your options. Those are your options. It's not like you're picking any difference. It's just same Uncle Sam, no matter which party.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other farm news. I didn't, you know what? I'm not apologizing for anything, folks. We better stand up and start smelling the corruption or we're all going to fall asleep drinking the hemlock. And I've said it before. All right, some other good news out there. For the people that were wanting some of the gear, some of the shirts I wear, go to pimpgear.co. Eric Sider done set it up over there. Yeah, so if you were wanting some of these shirts that are not suitable for... A lot of people were asking where they can find that shirt. Well, if you want one, go there, and he's going to have a list of... Eric's basically come up with a bunch of different shirts. That may be things I say on the show. I don't know. Whatever. It's going to be a
what shirt? What shirt is available?
The one that really fits right now. That we're all niggas now. Okay, that shirt. Yeah, because if there was ever a time to wear that shirt, I'd love to get a whole gang of us: white, black, brown. I don't care. Vietnamese, Korean. I really don't even care. If everybody is entitled to wear a shirt like that, boy, it is right now because they are sure treating you like it. There was a time where Monsanto used to do most of their poisoning in the black neighborhoods down in Louisiana, okay? Now they screw us all. That's why I say we are all niggas now, and I'm not going to apologize for saying it because we are. So all you white niggas out there, you want one of those shirts, go to pimpgear. Look, it's going to be listed in the show notes, but it's pimpgear, pimpgear.co. Homestead Twins, my homeboys from way up north, who are probably getting just crapped on right now from the sky, because I know Michigan's getting it real bad. They also have some stickers, really awesome stickers, that'll have you cracking up. In fact, I was just thinking about their shirt. I need to wear that thing again. People are going to lose their minds because it's been a while. But, yeah, the Transtestical Polar Bear shirt that I had over there. But, anyway, they got a lot of stickers over there. That's it right there. Yeah, say no to Transtestical Polar Bears. So you got a Tranny Testicle Polar Bear sticker and a number of other things out there. So, anyway, it's kind of an inside joke from the Pimp Cast. But, anyway... Both websites are linked at our website, so if you go there, it'll take you there. Yes, they are absolutely, all of them are friends of ours, and so if you want any of the gear over there, I'm sure these guys are going to do wonderful things with the money. And trust you, they're not making much money on it, any of it anyway. But anyway, if you want that shirt, so many people have sent emails asking, where do I get that shirt? Well, that's where you go, pimpgear.co.
I'm wearing it to KSL. I'm getting one and wearing it to KSL.
You ought to bring a whole stack and just give them away, man. In fact, we may just go ahead and buy a bunch of them just so we can give them away. But folks, I mean, I think that's another example of being able to tie something in humor. Okay. So a lot of you out there were laughing when I said that, but you were like, is it okay to laugh at this? Yeah. Hopefully no kids heard me. Yeah. I can see when I'm raising their hand in school. Miss Johnson. Yeah. We're all niggas now. I can see that. So let me apologize ahead of time. oh man. Yeah. Hostess Twin says I might turn some heads in that shirt. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We get a bunch of us out there doing it and I'll lead the procession. So, maybe next, I don't know. I was going to say, man, I would hijack somebody's total festival if I were to do that. So, I'll have to work that one out. But anyway, other things going on around here. The baby sheep are doing good. They are absolutely. And it cracks me up. If you have baby sheep and if you have a bunch of them every morning, every evening, you're going to see them just start bucking and kicking and playing and running up and down. That's just what they do. So, yeah, it's always beautiful to see. And, of course, that'll go away. And at some point, you know, they will graduate to the freezer. So another little weird anomaly. Of course, we got up this morning and, you know, going through, get out there, get the chores done. And then before the sun comes up, we get over there and watch it come up. And good night, man. I can't even begin to tell you how many. So they're back to chem trailing full steam ahead around here, but they got a different mix. This one, I knew it was going to be a nasty, muggy, awful day. And since we don't use the air conditioner, I knew it was going to be especially bad, because when you see that little rainbow around the sun, when you're looking at it, that means they're chem, Dame Wiggington 101, that means they are chem trailing the living daylights out of you when you see that, okay? And it creates a lensing effect. That's why if you go outside and it's hazy, it feels much hotter, because it's like you're under a magnifying glass, because that's exactly what it's designed to do. So, and then crazy, sun out of nowhere, it dropped 20 degrees out of here, like within 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Temperature dropped 20 degrees in 15 minutes. And I'm sure one has something to do with the other. And then, of course, you know, came back to normal all of a sudden. So, you know, it is what it is, folks. This is the world we live in, but we got to start standing up and kicking some butt. All right, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA, y'all. When I'm in this studio, I'm G'd up from the feet up, and I mean grounded. So I got my feet right now on this mat, and if you want one, go to, and of course, they got a lot of other things over there, go to redemptionshield.com, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Wave Watch, yeah, you can get $100 off if you put in Billy 100, and every single time I leave this house, you better believe I'm wearing that thing, especially every time I go to Asheville, y'all. That is like an EDC item, because I need to make sure my anxiety stays in check, because honestly, I don't need to go upside the head of some fruitcake who decided he's going to, I don't know, who even knows, man. These days, people are so out of their minds. I'm just trying to stay prayed up from the feet up, y'all. And I mean that in a big way. But anyway, if you need some help with that, Wave Watch, Billy 100, and plus they got a lot of other settings on there that really, really help. All right, coming up soon, Homesteaders United Jamboree. That's going to be August 28th through the 30th. And then William's going to be at KSL. That's Kentucky Sustainable Living. That's going to be from July 18th through the 20th. So it's not far from, it's not far around the corner. So let's see here. Okay, time's getting a little bit away from us, but I'm gonna run through some of these articles real quick, because there are some, at least one in particular, good news story I want to hit. One is, dude, I can't even read my own. Okay, here we go. One good news article. I don't have the article in front of me. Okay, communication breakdown on my end. But I'll tell you what, it is truly astonishing what the rescue workers can do when the feds get out of the way. And I mean Texas. You got people like Doc Pete Chambers, who's running for governor down there, and he should be an absolute shoe-in, former Green Beret, friend of mine. And he's running for governor down there. And folks, as awful as that disaster was, the response time from the first responders was off the flipping charts. Why? Because you didn't have the feds obstructing it. So I will give them a A+ for that. And man, thank God for all these wonderful people out there that are doing incredible work, son. What's your thoughts on the matter? I know you're not directly there, but you're closer.
We still haven't actually, that storm is moving so doggone slow. So I was actually monitoring that hurricane, or the, what's it called? Tropical storm, whatever they're calling it, all the way since Mexico, because I'm kind of, you know, paying attention to the rain. Cause usually if there's a storm down in Mexico and it's going up the Gulf, or if it's going up the West Coast, we eventually do get some of the rain. So I'm trying to figure out like when we're going to get the rain. That storm has been moving so doggone close. Also, I sent my GPS down into Houston and like Austin and those areas, like College Station areas, not my GPS, but my weather app, to those locations. So that way I could kind of get like an update of when they're getting rain, and then I can kind of guesstimate when we're going to get the rain. We still have not received the rain. We've gotten some of the clouds and stuff and like a little bit of mist, but no rain at all. And also one thing that I noticed when I had my app set up for those locations is that there was no, like, you know how you get a tornado and you get a warning on your app saying like, hey, tornado watch or tornado warning, stuff like that. There was no like weather warnings that I was receiving whenever I was set my GPS up to those locations. That's interesting.
Yeah, I was asking about the first responders as far as your opinion on that regarding that article.
Sorry,
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. Sorry, Dad.
I was thinking about the – I was going through the chat. Sorry about that. I was looking at the chat.
My bad. Yeah, but anyway, hat tip for all the first responders out there. It's a thankless job in so many different ways. But, hey, we thank you here. And, man
– Well, first thing – Sorry, I do have a thought about that. Is they better start detoxing, getting into that water. Same thing with the people over in Newport. Like, if you're in that water, you might want to start thinking about a detox.
All right, so you redeemed yourself. That's a very good point because honestly, we have, and I can't say it's near Lake Douglas, but we got people dropping like flies over there. And that's just downstream from where it happened here. And they're still dropping like flies. A lot of first responders were burned through their suits with what was in that water. And to this day, nobody wants to talk about it. But yeah, people are dropping like flies over there, and it's awful. So other good news out there. Everybody's losing their mind. I kind of talked about it a minute ago. Everybody's losing their mind about this America party. Look. I'm sure it's another scam. In fact, I ought to sign up for it. Because what difference does it make? Honestly. I mean, in the Libertarian Party that I mean, I was an independent. I was Libertarian. Then I became an independent when they got absolutely brain dead. I'm like, okay, why not? Why not? I mean, what? They'll split the Republican Party. You're being screwed now. I mean, what difference does it make? I mean, maybe I'll reach out to Elon and say, hey, why don't we create the pimp party? At this point, really, what difference does it make? You got Alexandria. I mean, the fact that you got a bartender in there, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which, by the way, folks, if you go back and look how she was elected, it was the biggest screw job anyway. I mean, you didn't take out a New York incumbent that everybody liked to put in a bartender. Didn't happen. It was another screw job. Anyway, if you don't have the fidelity of your elections, really, what do you have? You are a banana republic. We do not have the fidelity of our elections. Nobody's doing anything about it. You got voting machines that have no paper trail. I mean, enough said right there. Okay. Now you got Venezuela 101 right there. I mean, they wish they could pull off, the scam that we got going right now. Anyway, third good news story. Hawaii's Big Island balances tech expansion and health safeguards with groundbreaking new cell tower law. Now, in a nutshell, because I went so long on the first one, I was going to spend more time on this, but I can't. So in a nutshell, these towers got to be like 600 feet away from any home and any school. Son, how many schools have you seen with 5G towers right next to them?
I would say in Asheville, like, yeah, you can find that, but you can't really. I haven't seen any 5G towers right next to a school here in Texas so far. I also haven't really been like examining it, but in like North Carolina, absolutely, especially in Asheville.
Yeah.
It almost like comes with the construction of a school or whatever.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's like, you got this one that's alongside I-26 over here where it's in the shape of a cross and the top of it is a absolute 5G tower. And right at the base of it is a doggone school. Now, 600 feet really doesn't amount to a hill of beans, but it is an improvement. And if they're doing a law like that, the good thing is now people are fundamentally going to have to ask if they have any gray matter at all. Well, why? I mean, it begs the question, why? Because you're walking around, number one, that cell phone is the worst radiation device you have on you. which is why I leave it in airplane mode 90% of the time. I turn it on, and when I do, I'm trying to be very, very conscious about how I use this thing. So I see it as a dangerous servant or a fearful master, just like George Washington said about government. So I try to be grounded. I turn it on, and knowing that whatever harmful things that are coming out of it, most of it's going to ground. So if I'm out there in my bare feet and I can turn this thing on, or I'm on a grounding mat, you know, something like that, then I know that a lot of this thing, a lot of the negative stuff can, not a lot of it, but at least a fair bit of it, will go to ground. But when it comes to these towers, and the more people are using them, there's a name of this effect, and it escapes me right now. But the more people are using those towers, the worse the radiation, collectively, for everybody. So at least it's going to make, if people have any gray matter at all, it should be saying, well, okay, if all this stuff is safe, then why does it need to be 600 feet away? So I'm going to call that an improvement. Anyway, with that said, y'all, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, too much support for stupid. Animals will eat their young if they think it will not survive. Most of us would see this as cruel. We are constantly trying to separate ourselves from nature. We forget we are just animals ourselves and a part of nature. We have a choice in our behavior. That is what separates us. But we make some really stupid choices. Nature requires that species seek to ensure the survival and strength of their species. Humans go trophy hunting and kill the best breeding stock to mount on their walls, ensuring the degradation of that species. But hunting can be a positive tool by removing the injured and the old that likely won't survive. It's a win-win. The way we currently design our society ensures the worst of us thrive. We view eugenics and genetic modification as abhorrent, yet we participate in it every day. Our choices have consequences. What we choose to support has ripple effects we can't predict. There is a phrase repeated often. Let's remove all the warning labels and let nature take its course. The sentiment being that if you need a sign to tell you your coffee is hot, then perhaps you should kindly go jump off a cliff. You're diluting the gene pool. But how much should we support or tolerate? What is cruel and what is just sensible? Is our constant compromise a survival tactic or ensuring our destruction? As heard often on this PimpCast, it is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a sick society. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. I don't even know where to start with that, but yeah, he's absolutely right. If you need a sign on a cup of coffee to tell you it's hot, yeah, just go do a Thelma and Louise, man. Just go handle it, get it done.
He didn't say screw up the gene pool. He said diluting it. You're contributing nothing to the gene pool.
No, but I mean, sadly, that's exactly this is exactly what I was talking about. Now, Eric and I don't coordinate on what he provides here, but I've talked about it before, folks. Just remember, when the Visigoths were trying to kick in the doors of Rome, the aristocracy basically said, hey, they knew they didn't pay the northern barbarian hordes, so they knew they would come looking for money, so they got out of Rome. Where did they go? They went to Constantinople, said, yeah, we'll be back after a while, but they took everything with them. And then meanwhile, the people there, the proletariat class, you had the patricians, you had the proles, you had the proletariat. Anyway, you had these three different classes for the most part, and then you had subclasses within them. Anyway, they got out of there, and now the slaves, when they realized, oh, the slaves were, believe it or not, the smartest ones there. Why? Because they were still doing physical work. They were still getting their hands dirty. They were actually going out there doing things. Well, when they realized the aristocracy rolled, they said, okay, we're going to bounce too. Now, all of a sudden, the plebs started dying, and they're starving to death. Meanwhile, the Visigoths are like, hey, I want my money. They were literally still having gladiatorial combat in the Colosseum, yelling down from the stands how much for that meat, meaning the gladiator, dead in the middle of that Colosseum floor. Folks, it's hard for me to not imagine us being perilously close to that same spot. I mean, I try to find some humor in whatever I can, but you have only to go out your front door. And some of you, it may very well be in your own house. You may be married to a freaking nincompoop, okay? You may very well be married to a person, or, you know, you got family members, may not be married to them. Maybe you got a girlfriend or a boyfriend who's an idiot. Let's just be honest here. Okay, well, you know, get loose or get lost. You know the deal. I'm sure Eric's got a shirt work. He's working on a shirt that says that too. So, you know, the bottom line is, man, I swear I could, I'm kind of pulling the reins back in on myself because, man, I really want to go sideways and talk about this, but I think I've done enough of that so far. But let's talk about what we came here for. And before we do, remember EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. So how do you turn a wasted space into a tactical food forest? So let's talk about some of the practical parts that can really move the needle in your life. I mean, look, let's just think about this. Let me break this down in a way, because I know there's a lot of new people in here and a lot of people tune in to hear the politics. Some people tune in to hear the farming, some for all of it. Look, most people, a lot of people are sitting on gold mines and you don't even know it. You don't need 100 acres. You don't need 1,000 acres. You just need a strategy, and you don't even have to own the land. I mean it. Because if you take a tactical food forest, I guess you could say I invented the tactical food forest, William and I.
No, you did. You 100% invented the term tactical food forest and stuff like that.
I might have invented the term, but I think collectively as a family, I think we've all kind of contributed in how to make this thing really, really tactical. So I'm willing to share credit on that because honestly, I think we've all contributed in a massive way. Look, why can't you, and I'm going to talk specifically, now this could obviously happen on a farm. Most people in a farm aren't necessarily thinking about putting up a tactical food forest. But let's say you live in a suburb or in a city or even in the hood for that matter, or you live in close proximity to any of those places. You could turn some of those dead zones out there, or it's a vacant lot. I mean, we got record numbers of those. In Kansas City, there was a whole strip up and down Troost, man, where there were just vacant lots. And then you had these guys that were the hood farmers, and they were just not even asking for permission, man. They'd just go out, find a vacant lot, go put a farm in the front of it, okay? Problem is, everybody else knows about it. The good thing is that in the hood where most people are getting government subsistence, they would rather buy, folks, as crazy as this sounds, and I got a family member like this, will grow a whole garden of food, and son, you know who I'm talking about, and won't eat any of it. Yep. Would still go to the store to buy tomatoes, even though he grew some fantastic ones out there.
Chickens.
Had 100, I don't know, 50, 100 chickens, I don't even know. And still not even eating the eggs coming off of them. I mean, I'm like, what? Because when you grow up in these environments, folks, people will walk past an entire patch of food to go to a store and spend their money because it came out of a store. That's the kind of brainwashing, generational brainwashing that goes on. I'm dead serious. And having been one of those people that early on was brought up in the welfare system, I'm acutely aware of how it works. That's why I'm so critical of it, because they make it just comfortable enough to where you never want to escape it. That's exactly how it's designed, folks. I'm being completely honest. My early life, that's exactly how we got by. But as I grew up and as I moved on, I'm realizing, okay, and then started asking critical questions. I'm like, no, these beanie weenies don't taste good to me anymore after I've tasted a real tomato, or really after I went on my first ever school trip. But anyway, I digress. So what is a tactical food forest? It's not just going out there planting a bunch of trees. You know, it's growing calories, medicine. Really what you're growing is resilience. And you're growing it in plain sight because most people are walking past it and don't even know. So, son, what was one of the methods? Like, okay, imagine an orchard. but we're going to call it a food forest. Not everybody knows what that is. So let's just imagine an orchard. What do you got? Trees in very close proximity. What are some of the trees that you would put on the outside of that to shield everybody from seeing what's on the inside of it?
Some native pioneer species that you might have. So what you have in like Austin, for example, like yaupon, that's everywhere. You're going to not even pay attention to what's behind the yaupon because you see yaupon in front of you and you see yaupon everywhere. So yaupon would be a good one for, which also is the only North American, native North American tree that has caffeine content for those of you that are looking to prepare for, you know, end times and you need caffeine and stuff like that. But if you live like where I live in this part of Texas, then black locusts or even oaks to a certain extent would be fantastic to put around the edge. Like where you are in North Carolina, red buds would be a fantastic one to put around the edge, and it's pretty. But nobody's, once they see that initial green, nobody's looking past that. Nobody's looking right into the depth of the forest.
Especially when you can put things in there like a honey locust where, man, there's thorns all over that bad boy. Bodark, something like that. Something that most people would just dismiss as some kind of junk tree, okay? Something that's going to break up the outline of what's on the inside. Because remember, most fruit is going to be round or roundish. Your berries, your apples, pears, peaches, plums, you get it. I mean, but it'll generally be round. You want something to break up the outline. That's exactly why soldiers wear camouflage. It's to break up the outline. You were going to say?
Now, Kim Ivey mentioned cedars. Now, cedars are one of those trees that I wouldn't plant on the outside. Nope. Because of the potential rust issues or the fungi issues or fungal issues that could go on with your apples, your pears, and stuff like that. So make sure whatever you're planting isn't going to be like detrimental to the rest of what you're planting. Another one that I wouldn't plant on the outside are things like black walnuts. Like, let's not, you can still grow within the ring of a black walnut. It's just, there's extra steps to it. You're going to have to, that's an extra thing that you're going to have to do to get your food forest up and going.
Yeah. And the allopathic nature of it is going to be a little bit deleterious to the things that you want to probably grow around it. So I would be a little bit cautious about that. So you want to identify, first of all, these wasted spaces that exist. I mean, it could be side yards, fence lines, back corners, open lots, ditches, easements. I mean, man, if you only knew how much medicine you could find growing up out of a ditch, slopes, even former junk piles, or those are all unattractive places for most people. You know, when you're picking out that tactical food forest, I got to say the most important element, unlike a regular food forest or an orchard, is what you choose to put on the outside. And William and I are talking essentially about an overstory, perhaps even an understory. But this is where, if you want to put in some stuff that's really, really nasty, like some blackberry, like some honeysuckle, like some, oh my goodness, man, it's right on multiflora rose. This is where you want to put it. You want to put this on the outside. Not only is its thick, thorny nature going to help break up that outline, it's going to break up that outline up to about 8 feet. And then the trees we just talked about will break up the outline even higher. Nobody will ever see past it. So if you got nasty soil on that side, which is where these things are going to typically want to grow, man, people might lose them. I mean, or if you got a thorny fence line, you may want to leave it that way. Nobody is looking through a honeysuckle. Nobody is looking past, and nobody's even going to try to get past a multiflora rose. So imagine you got a multiflora rose, and honestly, it's a really good barrier for deer and everything else that may want to get in there and mess with your stuff. So we're talking about the very outside of whatever you choose to do. Honey locust, this is where I would be going crazy with honey locust, black locust. Not only are they very, very helpful, and nitrogen fixers at that, but they're also going to deter anybody because fundamentally thieves are lazy, okay? There's a seriously crass vulgarity in theft. That's why they're thieves. So, but if you make it too easy for them, man, they're never even, you know. So that is what makes up, that is the chief architect, as an architect, that's your chief concern is what you put at the edges. So multi-floor rows, this is where I'm going to encourage you to put in the worst things possible because it's going to deter anybody. Okay, so now you got this edge. Doesn't need to be a whole lot, but you got your edge covered. Now you want to obviously observe it and zone it. Now, this could be a big space. It could be a small space. I mean, think of all the places I just described. They could be some really, really awful places. You could even use, like I said, if it's in the hood and you got an old chain link fence, you could even use that as a substrate to grow some stuff on or use it to grow some of the nasty things I'm talking about. But now you get on the inside. Now you're going to observe it and zone it. So you want to see where your sunlight's falling. You want to see where the shade is, obviously, in all seasons. Where's the water flow? Is it a good place? I mean, is water going to stand there? What does the space already do? I mean, what's it being used for to begin with? Was there some old beds there you can repurpose? I mean, the sky's the limit, son. Anything you want to add as far as observation and zoning?
Like, think of your harvest. So whenever you're harvesting whatever it is that you're growing, think of that. So maybe don't plant your strawberries right up against your edge barrier where you have your honey locusts, or like, because honey locusts, they grow branches obviously and twigs, and then wind happens and then some of those fall down, and you don't want to be kneeling in honey locust thorns trying to harvest your strawberries. So things that are like lower to the ground, plant closer to your access point. Things that are like taller, you can plant further away from your access point. Because you're reaching up to get them. You might have to, step over or step on some of the plants you planted in front. But think of that as far as your design. Also try to include as many different layers as you possibly can.
If you're going to do any earthworks on this project, after the observation phase and all these things, this is when you want to do it. Don't be like a doctor, once we both knew, where you wanted to do the earthworks and put in swales after you already planted the trees. Yeah, there are designs where you can do that sort of thing, but you want to do your earthworks up front. I know that seems like you're probably thinking, duh, obviously. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't think about that. So remember, this is a tactical food forest. Why would I consider earthworks? Well, let's say I got a hugel culture mound out there. Well, what else could it double as? Could be a LPOP, which we call in the military a listening post observation post. It could also be a fighting position. That same berm that you're growing trees on might be a very, very, very effective place. So if you're going to do any earthworks, now's the time to do it. And then after you do those earthworks, do you want any water features in there? Can you exploit current water features? So many different ways to go about, but do your earthworks on the front end. Then you want to start thinking about your layers, and you want to think about design. Obviously, like William will teach you as the designer here, as the consultant, you're going to want to make all your mistakes on paper. So you want to draw this out, even though it's a tactical food forest. You want to draw this thing out. Then you want to be thinking about the seven layers of that forest. Really eight when you get down to brass tacks. So what is it? The overstory, the understory, the shrubs, herbs, ground cover, vines, and roots.
Roots, so fungi,
and that would be number eight. Yeah. So you want to be thinking about how all these, so this is where you could put in a regular orchard, but it's just protected on the edges by a really dense, thorny, nasty cover. I mean, anything to add to that?
Yeah. Keep in mind, the only difference between an orchard and a food forest is the space that you planted. Like the space between trees, basically. Food forest, you're trying to mimic nature. In orchard, you have like nice, neat rows to get your tractor in between and just easy access and stuff like that. You want to try to make it look as natural as possible. Now, real quick, Kim Ivey said, would I put swales on flat pasture? Absolutely. There's no land that's too flat to put swales on. There is, however, land that's too steep to put swales on. It's like over 20% grade. You go to swale under 20% grade, you do swales. Between 20 and 30, you do terraces. And over 30, that's a cliff.
Yeah. So there's so many different ways you can go about that. But make sure you do your, if you're going to do any of this stuff. I mean, do your earth works first. And then be thinking about all these different things, like in your overstory, do you want chestnut, mulberry? I mean, I love mulberry, persimmon, you know, your shrubs, elderberry, blueberry, currant. I mean, obviously this would change depending on where you live. Vines, can you grow grapes, kiwis out there, passion flower, ground cover, mint, clover, strawberries is what we like, but you could use them all. There's no reason you got to be isolated on any of them. Think about those medicinals out there, okay? So say it's in the hood. I mean, you may need some of that yarrow to stop some bleeding after you got blasted. You know, somebody did a drive-by on your peaches. Who knows? Comfrey, mullein. I mean, all of these things play a role out there, and we got them out here. So you use your nitrogen fixers and your dynamic accumulators to feed the soil, which is ultimately feeding you. And then you want to design with defense and practicality in mind. You always want to think about your points of egress. Now, some of this is going to require a little bit of a military background, but really not. The main focus that you're going to need is worrying about your perimeter more than anything. Now, in between these rows, son, what could people do? I mean, so let's say we got trees up and down these rows. Let's say it's a vacant city lot. Let's say you put all the stuff on the outside perimeters. Now, okay, you got trees growing up, and let's say they're in, to a certain extent, rows. But until those trees get bigger, what could you be doing with the interstitial space?
You could be following like a syntropic design and growing your annuals and stuff like that. And you can even do that to a certain extent, even when it does start developing like more of a canopy and stuff. You just won't have as high of a yield. But in between the trees, while you still have full sun hitting the ground, because the trees are still babies, you can grow basically your garden. It's just keep in mind, if it's a root crop, don't plant it next to one of your trees or one of your perennials that you planted, because when you dig up that root crop, you're going to potentially damage some of those perennials. So try to stick to things that either just pull up out of the ground very easily, or all the fruit is or food is produced above ground. And then also be careful with like your beans and your vining species around trees that are too young, because they'll just pull them down.
Or when they do get a little more mature, you can use them as a means to grow those beans. We've done it out here as well. And that's where we use our nitrogen fixers, because the black locusts are pretty robust and they can handle, you know, the stress that these guys will put on them. But yeah, that's where we actually grew some beans a couple of years ago, I think. And then think about all the ways you can feed this system with free inputs. Because if you're going to be in and out of there, think about the inputs that could already be there. Remember, that's why we sell Comfrey, okay? So you got Comfrey everywhere. That means I never have to buy mulch after the initial time. That's why I grow nitrogen fixers everywhere, because I never got to buy wood chips. I'll just chop and drop it, put it around there, and make a mulch ring out of it. It's really that simple, and you grow it in very close proximity to each one of these trees. And then obviously, if they're deciduous trees, which most of them almost certainly will be, well, they're going to drop their leaves. You know what? Where are you going to put those leaves? Obviously, right around those trees. So that's another good way. I mean, a lot of that stuff. Now, clearly, at first, you're going to try to bring in as many. You're going to probably have to bring in a lot of outside inputs. But once you want this thing to be off and running, and that's the beauty of putting all seven layers in there, is that every time you got to prune one of your nitrogen fixers, where do you think it ought to go? Maybe put it around your productive trees, okay? So there's so many different ways in which the system that you're feeding is feeding you. Now, why do I feel the need to talk about this kind of stuff, folks? You see kind of a general theme to some of the things we've talked about. Look, as we've talked about, I am clearly not an optimist. I'm a realist. I'm not an optimist with where I see America going right now. So I'm encouraging every single person out there to find every nook and cranny you can to grow food. And honestly, it's just plain fun. Nothing feels better than, you know, seeing my little grandbaby eat a peach that I got off that tree. I know where it came from. And I mean, son, is she still eating those freeze-dried peaches I made?
Oh, yeah. Like every morning she'll eat like Greek yogurt with those freeze-dried peaches and then a little bit of the honey. Yeah, two of those three ingredients were produced by either us or you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, And you just don't get any better than that, folks. That's real food, real food. So, and then think about stacking those functions too, folks. It's not just, I was thinking about this the other day. I think I was going to do a Patreon video, or maybe I did do it, is when you go out there with a mower, let's say if you can, in any way possible, put some animal systems in there, you're going to make this system off and running so much faster than just using mechanical means. One prime example. Did you know that if you go out there with a mower, you chop it off mechanically, think about who doesn't eat when you do that. But now, if I run sheep or cows through there, what do I get? They're going to selectively take out what they want. And guess what? All the flowering stuff, for the most part, they're going to leave that behind. Well, who's that good for? All your pollinators out there. You need those guys. You need those pollinators. So if you have to go out there every single time with a mower, you're taking all of it and you're leaving nothing for the bees. That's the beauty of, that's why I love so much of using animal systems. Plus, every time a ruminant takes a bite of grass, there is an agent in their saliva that helps that grass come back even better. It's like the good Lord knew what he was doing. I learned that little trick from Joel. So every single time they take a bite out of it, it grows back even better because a ruminant took a bite out of it, simply because their saliva is symbiotic with the plant. And the plant's like, oh, okay, cool. And there's even an exchange there, a real positive exchange. So, think about that pollinator habitat. Think about the natural medicine you could be growing out there. How about some of the wildlife corridors if you want them out there? That may be hood rats in your case. Shade and cooling. What about the windbreaks? Visual barriers. You may want some of those. I mean, obviously, you're going to have some all the way around there. Everybody that's going by there is going to think that place is a dump. So think about, if it is a home, can you use some of that gray water and use it out in the garden? You'll be surprised at how well things go. So, some mistakes to avoid. So planting everything entirely too close, you're going to regret that in a couple of years if you do that. Made that mistake before. Ignoring some soil prep. Using high maintenance species, let's say you can only be there a couple of days a week. Well, you don't want something there you got to be there all the time for. Maybe it's not meant to be in that area. Failing to plan and water access, things like that. So there's so many different ways we can go about this, man. I got a lot more that I have on my list here, but I know we're getting a little bit short on time. So, and I don't want to keep everybody, but obviously the tools you need, I mean, that's going to vary from time to time. And there's a lot of real world examples. I mean, well, no, there aren't actually of a tactical food forest. There's people that create a food forest, but I don't know that they've created tactical food forests. But so no, there are no real life examples out there that I can speak of outside of what we have going here and some of the other projects we're working on. But folks, you better be thinking about those things. So before you plant your first tree, work on that perimeter. Get those junk trees, or what some people call junk trees. There's no such thing in my view, but get those things on the edge. Maybe get some fast carbon pathways, seek those fast carbon pathways on the very edges, get something up there. Don't make it look pretty on the edges. That's not the point. The point is to grow food on the inside. And son, what's the benefit? What's one of the chief benefits of having a food forest over an orchard?
The way less maintenance with the food forest. And then also, people don't recognize it as food. If you see trees in a row, you know somebody planted them there. If you see trees in a pattern that you don't easily recognize, then you're just going to keep on going.
Well, it's like the grill.
I got to say, with the orchard, I don't know that most people would even recognize that as food unless it has like actual ripe apples on it.
Yeah. Yeah, in most cases, I totally agree. I mean, like over here, you got this ivy that grows everywhere. Folks, you could be planting sweet potatoes all over the place, and these people will think it's an invasive ivy. Absolutely. And you could eat all that. I mean, eat the slips and everything. But yeah, you really could do that. So you got so many wonderful options out there, folks. I mean, you really, really do. Anything else to add, son?
Yeah, so one tree that no matter where you are, everybody in the chat, no matter where you are in the world, there's one tree that everybody can grow. There's a fruiting variety that will work in your area, and that's called mulberry. And it produces a ton of food. So don't get like a dwarf species or a grafted species. Try to find one that is going to get as big as possible in your area so it produces as much fruit as possible. But there's a mulberry that will work no matter where you are in the world. There's always going to be a fruiting mulberry. So maybe stock up on those. And they're like delicious. And most people, I don't know that most people even would recognize the fruit of a mulberry anyway, because it's not something that most Americans eat on a consistent basis. Or when they do eat mulberry, it's usually not in berry form.
Well, and then one of those other tactical things with a mulberry is, first of all, I agree with you. And by the way, Ben and Denise gave me a Persian mulberry, which is my favorite. And those things, man, they are just absolutely delicious. So I got to find a spot for that. But anyway, with those mulberries, the cool thing about that in terms of some of your aquatic systems is that even in the designer's manual, I mean, mulberry is one of the trees they use to feed the fish. So, I mean, it's there's so many different cases, and it has so much utility. So, and like William said, it's one of those trees that, man, if you can get one going, I never understood why more people didn't, like, why can't you get mulberries in the store, man? I mean, that's one of my favorites out there. And
I don't know if it has a bad shelf life or what, but yeah, you never find mulberries in the store. And another tip, if at all possible, try to fit if you have big enough space, try to fit like some sort, like some body of water within your food forest. Yes. It's going to stabilize the temperatures a little bit better. If you do have to water, you have the access to the water right there. And then also there's a different layer of food that you can include. The plants that grow in water, like azolla or duckweed and stuff like that, which you can eat yourself, and you can also feed it to your animals, but also maybe potentially some of the animals that are attracted to the water or some of the fish that's growing in the water. So try, if you at all possible, try to include a body of water within your food forest, if for no other reason, just stabilizing temperatures and reducing like late spring frost effects.
Man, so many wonderful comments here. I'm about to plant mulberry in my chook coop. That's got to be an Australian there. Let's see. Mulberry leaf is edible for humans, too. I've never even eaten that. And pollard your mulberry and use the whips for wattle structures. I mean, man, there's people out here doing some great stuff with these things. But, yeah, there's so many options out there, and they're invisible to a lot of other folks that and mulberry, like William said, I mean, it's – I remember this guy, Johnny, had this fruitless mulberry, had the biggest leaves I'd ever seen. And I was like, why on earth would somebody put a fruitless mulberry? I don't want it to mess up my truck. And I'm like, okay, I really don't even know what to say to that. So
in the words of Eric Sider, diluting the gene pool.
There you go. And then he also does point out some other good stuff too, where, you know, you don't eat up the best seeds from your crop. What do you do with them? You put them back and save them for next year. So, you know, we do everything backwards. It's like the people that want to, you know, have all their animals, lamb or calf, in the middle of winter, which I never understood, which was absolutely stupid to me. Never made any sense, but everybody does it that way. And not everybody, but a lot of people do. Why not have them do so? Do the polar opposite of what everybody else is telling you. But yeah, there's a lot of wonderful, great comments out there. Obviously, people that are, out there doing some incredible stuff. So I guess that's going to do it for us, folks. Look, I know there's a lot of weird stuff going on in this world right now. A lot of just plain insanity. But yeah, you can ground yourself a little bit just by going out. And I mean that literally and figuratively. And literally go out there, ground, work in your gardens, do this wonderful work. You're going to be better for it. I guarantee it. I mean, if you look at me now, man, I'm like two shades darker. And it's because I'm out here doing the work. And I know a lot of you are too. Things are crazy. They're going to get crazier. But, that's exactly why we do what we do. So until next time. Wrong music entirely. Until next time, y'all. Stay alert.
Stay alive.
Irish rain. Who's that run deep? Wisdom from Saul. Come across the stream. Let the idea unfold. I'm moving with the truth. Feeling nature's food. Who's got the answers? All we need to do. Listen to the earth. They've got us through. Let the seeds of shame. Watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life. For the magic's alive, tune it to the beat, feel the vibe and thrive. So much dream.